Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
On Kaya959.
With Pimelo Mudine.
What's yours?
What's yours?
All right, thank you so much for staying with us. Listen, by the way, you can always engage and ask questions and, you know, just your comments sometimes. And that's through a phone call, if you like, 086-000-00959, or you can send a voice note as well on 063-688-0959. So, 7 prison officials at the controversial Correctional Services Center, G4S, we all know about it, that Mangaung one, where We've been following that story, where obviously a lot of us know it as the notorious prison where Thabo Bester escaped. But this time, the issue is of a prison inmate who passed away, hence the 7 officials who have been suspended. On the line with us is Department of Correctional Services spokesperson Singabako Engumalo. Thank you so much, Singabako. Thank you, and I apologize for that. Good evening and welcome.
Hey, very good evening, and thank you for having us. Yes, I know it's a difficult name, but we'll get used to it.
Singabako, what did you gather happened on the night, or at least the morning, when the prisoner is said to have passed away?
Okay, the report that was given to the Department of Correctional Services by the contractor, in this case, G4S, was that an inmate collapsed in the cell, taken to the hospital inside the facility, and declared dead on arrival.
Mm.
We looked at that report. We then said it's something that has to be investigated, just like any other death in custody.
Mm.
But what then raised red flags were the different and conflicting reports that we're receiving from the officials that were involved, and also from the cellmates of the deceased, which then pushed us to saying that we need to have a full-scale investigation here, and also make it a point that a post-mortem is conducted so that we could be for certain what was the actual cause of death.
Mm. Some of the details that have come through, I'm not sure if you can verify them, but issues of the inmate being, pepper sprayed, and also perhaps being, attacked. I don't know how much of that you can verify with an iron rod or something like that. Just give us more details on that.
Our investigation revealed what we stated today, and supported by empirical evidence from the post-mortem, which said there were complications with the paper spray that was used there, but there were also clear indications that there was blunt force that was also detected by the forensic, so which then shifted the whole perspective now from being a natural death case to being an unnatural one, because it was supported by that empirical evidence. And the versions that we're also receiving now from the officials involved who were doing the searching, and the same officials who went back when one of them forgot his backpack inside the cell, and they wanted the 800 rands that was inside that bag, which was even wrong from the first instance, because officials are not allowed to take money inside the correctional facility. Then that's when the whole thing happened, where then the issues of assaults, torture then came to the fore, because one of the officials in his statement does indicate that certain things did happen in that cell, but the inmate the impact of everything that happened was felt in the morning. That's when now he had to be rushed to the hospital and was declared dead on arrival. And hence, as a department, we don't regret that we pushed in saying we need to have a clear investigation and take that inmate's body for postmortem, so that we could even gave a response to the family in terms of what really happened there.
So how do inmates who transgress get, disciplined in a way that is lawful? Just maybe give us a sense of, if there was transgression on the part of the inmate, what would have had to happen?
The correctional centers have different classifications.
Yeah.
You will have your low risk, medium risk, and high risk.
Mm.
These classifications, they also carry in them a number of restrictions. An inmate housed in a low risk facility will have more privileges as compared to the one at a maximum facility.
Yes.
This will even dictate what type of visits to receive, is it conduct or non-conduct,
mm.
and the frequency of such visits, even what you are able to buy from the kiosk,
mm.
and how often are you able to and make calls to your family or the loved ones.
Mm.
So there's different dynamics. There is more which is available to the correctional system to utilize, even in terms of taking consequence measures when inmates embark on activities which are outside the code of conduct. So all these are available, but at no point you will find that an inmate has to be tortured or assaulted because he has done something out of line. That was outlawed long time ago in the country.
Mm.
It never happens. Hence, you even have treaties that talks to torture of inmates, mm. saying that it's illegal. Even United Nations does monitor that, and there are certain, and there are even other laws internationally that look at such. And if you are found to be treating inmates in such a way, there are clear consequences for such. So as a department, we are very clear that even the two private facilities that we have in the country, they have to conduct their business following the Correctional Services Act.
And so, you know, how then does the department monitor regularly how the correctional services, you know, itself and people who work in the correctional services conduct themselves? So we hear now because obviously someone has passed on, but ordinarily, how would you have monitored incidents like this?
There's different layers of management in a correctional facility, and they carry different responsibilities. But beside that, one will say, but you cannot be a referee and a player. You even have independent structures that monitor the work that we do. In South Africa, you have the Judicial Inspectorate, currently being headed by Justice Edwin Cameron. They have officials who visit our correctional facilities, and they make no appointment. They go to these centers at any time. They check the registers in terms of a request and complaints made. They even engage with offenders to source whatever information or those who may have other complaints, and they process such. Members of parliament, even other structures, can go to any correctional facility and check if everything is done as the policy and procedure. So as a department, we have our own internal mechanisms, but there are also other bodies. Even the Human Rights Commission can go into our facilities and check if inmates are not being treated. So there are those mechanisms built in it. So as a department, we always have to conduct ourselves in a manner that is specified in the Correctional Services Act.
Mm. We now, at this point, it looks like the tables have turned in the sense that those who were, you know, conducting whatever they're calling it, because I don't know what you would call their conduct, the prison officials, they themselves, what processes is underway now to deal with whatever it is that happened while the investigation is going on?
This was not an easy investigation, I need to say that,
mm.
because in that searching operation, you also had managers being involved. And the accounts
exactly.
that they were giving, yes,
yeah,
the accounts
yeah.
that they were giving to our investigators were not satisfactory.
Mm.
And we have a temporary manager appointed by the Department of Correctional Services stationed there, who then had to use his powers by instructing the controller and saying that we need now to withdraw the operational certificates of these managers
mm.
because the facility was not moving in terms of placing them on suspension so that the investigation could be conducted in a free space. We had to do that. Hence, today we are able to talk of this number of officials, including even the manager of operations and the director of operations having to be placed on suspension, because we insisted in saying that we are not happy with the reports that have been provided to us. Information, where part of it was being withheld to us, but some of it was given to us in a way that was to misdirect us, so that we never get to establish what really happened there. I will give you just one typical example. Mm-hmm. People who were in close proximity of the cell that was being searched, where they were looking for this bag mm-hmm. and the 800 rand, mm-hmm. came not to have heard or seen anything.
Wow.
Whereas when you look at them, at the camera footage, it does point that these people were in very close proximity. And you would then get reports from other inmates in other cells. They could tell that, no, we had people screaming there. Definitely there was something happening. They will then go on and say, no pepper spray was discharged. And say, we weighed them. They still had the same quantities. Yet the post-mortem results then gave us a different finding, saying that, no, indeed, there was pepper spray here involved, which then complicated this inmate's condition, because yes, he was asthmatic, but it is not asthma that killed him. It was secondary exposure to pepper spray.
And for me, that's the concern, that the rot is so deep. And this is obviously not the first time we're hearing this. We heard that even when we were dealing with the Thabo Bester story, that there's obviously networks of the kinds of illegal activities that are happening, even the kind of activity that we saw with this particular case. So how really... is this department going to deal with the different layers and levels of the kind of misconduct that we're seeing?
Here we are dealing with a private facility being operated
yes.
by a contractor.
Yeah.
And we've made it clear that we want this contract to be terminated.
Yeah.
So that we can take over operations there. Then we'll be in a better position to account for things where our officials are fully involved. And we are in court because the contractor
is
telling the court that no, they are doing
yeah.
a good job
yeah.
and they want to continue until the contract expires in 2026.
Yeah.
And we have not changed. And we're seeing as these incidents continue to happen, we are really, you know, looking up to court to say we need to find an end to this so that we can go in there, take over the facility and operate it so that at least we will know for a fact that things which are happening there, we are able to account for them because we have our officials on the ground doing the work.
Singabako, I said it better, didn't I, this time? Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Department of Correctional Services spokesperson Singabako Ngumalo, thank you so much for that.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.